couple of texts up there for you today. First one comes out of Isaiah chapter 6. And we're going to read the bulk of the chapter, I guess I'm going to read for you. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet. With two they were flying and were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried. "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." Then I heard a voice from the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am, send me." He said, "Go and tell the people, be ever hearing, but never understanding. Be ever seeing, but never perceiving. Make the heart of this people calloused. Make their ears dull and close their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed." Then I said, For how long, O Lord? And he answered, "Until the cities lie in ruin, and without inhabitants, and the houses are left deserted, and the fields are ruined and ravaged, until the Lord has sent everyone far away, and the land is utterly forsaken. And though a tenth remains in the land, it will again be laid to waste. But as the terebinth and the oak leave stumps when they are cut down, so the holy seed will be the stump in the land." The second lesson comes out of 2 Peter. You'll turn there. And we start at chapter 2 and verse 16. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 16. We'll start there. Lost it. Chapter 1, verse 16. Gave the wrong thing. "We did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory saying, 'This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased.' We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. And we have the word of the prophets made more certain, and you will do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in the dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." Here ends the reading. I'd like to invite children to come down. Good morning, good morning. I got a problem this morning. I have no children's sermon. So thank you for all coming down, and I'll let you have two pieces of candy next Sunday instead. Unless one of you is willing to give the children's sermon. So I'm calling you. Who will go, and who can I send to give the children's sermon this morning? Should I look at big people too? Oh, we got one. We got a mic on? Just a minute. Atta girl.
We're all just going to say what we're thankful for.
Wait, stay up there, teacher. Colin.
Tyler. What are you thankful for?
What are you thankful for, honey?
My mommy and daddy love me.
Yes, they do.
Hazel.
Thank you.
Micah.
Anyone else?
I'm thankful for the Bible.
Thank you. I'm thankful for you because you are willing to come up and do this. In the text today, we're going to be talking about that. Come on down. Good. There's a guy in our text today named Isaiah, and it goes like this: Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Who is willing to volunteer? Yes, because she was willing to volunteer, you had a children's sermon. But if she wouldn't have operated or willing to been volunteering, I would have sent you back today with nothing. So wasn't it nice that she did that? Yes. I want you to keep remembering how important it is, and I've told you this. There was a little boy I saw on the TV or on YouTube, and he was only 6 years old, just a little kid, 5 or 6 years old. And you know what he did? He saw a policeman. Happened to be a policewoman, but he saw a policewoman while he was walking to school. And you know what he did? He walked up to her and he said this, "Can I pray for you?" And you know what she did? She got down on one knee and she said yes. And then he said a prayer for her to be safe today and for her to have a good day, and that God would bless her and watch over her. And when he got all done, she was so overwhelmed, she started to cry almost, and she told him, "Thank you very much." But she forgot to ask him his name. And so what she was doing, she got on the newspaper, on the news, and she said, "This little boy came and prayed for me today, and it was so special for me that it made me cry. I wish I could tell him thank you." That's how important it is. When you see people that you see are sad or need prayer or need protection or that you're thankful for, and you'd be surprised how God can use you in those situations. Who will go for me? Who shall I send? That was the question. You got that? Good. Ready? You get to distribute it. You can decide one or two or whatever you want. Or seven. Our minds all kind of slide into that spot, don't they? Be nice, be nice. Otherwise, I'll tell her to take them away. I think we have all kinds of pictures of angels, and sometimes we are a little bit surprised when a seraphim is described like they're described here in this particular... You're welcome, honey. You're welcome. Thank you for being a good job. And so it isn't that I want to focus on the seraphs particularly today, but I want you to understand how this call, this particular commission, comes to Isaiah. And it's a tough commission. It's a tough job again. Like I said, real prophets seldom want to go, "Oh, this is great. I think I'll just run down and go and do that." They really shy away from it because the demands placed on them are frequently very, very difficult. And that's what I'm going to focus on a little bit toward the end of this particular section. But the glory of God is presented to Isaiah in what appears to be a vision. King Uzziah was basically a good king, but toward the end of his life, he offered what they call improper incense in the temple, and God gave him leprosy, and he was never cured. However, when Uzziah died, this particular vision comes to Isaiah, who had already been in seeing visions and being a part of the prophetic ministry that he was. And then he talked about this vision that really is a small picture of heaven. Sounds almost like Revelation, right? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the seraphs are shouting it back and forth. Holy! Holy!
Holy!
Holy!
Holy.
That's what they were doing. Okay? Now the word holy, I shared in Bible study, actually doesn't mean perfect, or it means complete. It means Jesus is beyond, separate from all others. Three holies is the ultimate separation, unlike anyone else. God of heaven is beyond anything holy or separated you want to identify on earth. And so they're shouting this, and they're celebrating. This is a beautiful scene that he has here. And at the sound of the voices, it says, it rumbled so much that the doorposts and everything shook. And he was seeing this thing and experiencing it in whatever level he was experiencing it. And it said, at their voices, the doorposts and the threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Very typical imagery of the presence and the power of God, the working of the Holy Spirit, the smoke of the temple being, or the smoke in the temple being filled. I never quite understood incense and smoke in the temple. Why would they do that? They burned in Italy, when I was in Italy with the school kids, they were burning incense, and the stained glass windows were sometimes 30, 40, 50 feet high. And as the sun shone through the stained glass windows into the smoke that was in the air, the colored lights of that went through the glass, the sunlight came down, and there was this myriad of colors dancing across the floor, and I understood. And the smoke that filled the temple was meant to be a reminder of the presence of the Lord. So I'm not sure if one day I'll start a fire up here or not, but brace yourselves. But you'll understand that was what it was for, so that you know God's present, so you don't make a mistake on this. That's the kind of flavor that obviously he's picking up. Then we get to this personal response that Isaiah gives, starting there at verse 5. And he begins to go, woe is me, or woe to me, I cried, I'm ruined. I'm a dead man. Okay? He goes on, I'm a man of unclean lips. The very concept that he's talking about is foul lips. What comes out of my mouth is not always righteous. What comes out of my mouth is attached to my heart. And that stuff that comes out is the garbage of what's really inside of me. Out of your heart, your mouth speaks. And so he begins to realize, I don't have a chance. I have seen the living God. What am I going to do besides just sit here basically and die? And so that's the flavor of what he's doing with that at that point. And he goes this. And he goes forward there. He goes, I have a person of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Then one of the angels. Now notice the word seraph, if you picture shiny brass, fiery brass, the word seraph actually means fiery. Okay? If you remember at the Garden of Eden, there was an angel at the Garden of Eden with a fiery sword. Okay? It happened to be a cherubim, I believe, not a seraphim. But these are seraphs. The other word that seraph sometimes implies is serpent-like. But this is not serpent-like. So we know that this is the fire, the power of God that are represented there in those seraphs. And it talks about them having six wings. And if you look at it and identifies that in the phrasing there that you pick up along the way, you will find that they had two wings they would cover their head, two wings they would fly with, and two wings they would cover everything down below their waist. Says their feet. It was an act of modesty as they bow and reverence to God and this whole thing. So he's seeing this all take place, his little momentary vision of the temple and heaven all kind of blended together. And he basically says, I haven't got a prayer. There's nothing righteous in me, which is what happens when the power of God or the presence of God enters your world. That'll be the first thing you begin to cry out. I haven't got a prayer, do I? No. And so he goes on from there, And it says, then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the tongs from the altar. And he comes down, if you remember, we were talking about Jeremiah last Sunday. He comes and he touches the lips of Isaiah, and he says these words to Isaiah, all right? See, this has touched your lips, your guilt is taken away, and your sin is atoned for, paid for in full, completed, you're back one. You have been restored, your debt has been paid. It's as though I owed someone $1 million or $1 billion, someone stepped in, paid off the debt, I am now one with that person again, that because the debt has been paid. And so he goes, then I heard the voice, the Lord saying, and this is what I did to you kids, you ready? Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Because if nobody said yes, none of the kids would have gotten a treat. If you're sent or called and you don't go, the people that were meant to be saved by you will more than likely not be saved, more than likely not had their lives ministered to, more than likely not had their hearts responded to by the presence of God. And so you begin to understand the significance of this. And so here's Isaiah. He's overwhelmed by what he's seen. He's had his mouth touched by the living coal of fire, and he's been purified by the mercy and the grace of God. And then he hears this voice, who will it go? Who shall I send? And then he says this, here am I, send me. Now, in one sense, the sermon can stop right at that point because that's the call of God. It really is. Here am I, send me. I happened to be at breakfast the other day with two other ministers, and poor waitress walked up, and she had three pastors she was dealing with. All were going to make sure she got saved. And so we're going to be praying here in just a little while. Is there anything we could pray for you for? And then the other one asked, as she was talking in dialogue, and she was letting her hair down a little bit, goes, do you follow Jesus? Now, listen to that question, because I liked it. Are you a follower of Jesus? Not are you a Christian? Not are you saved? Are you a follower of Jesus? And then she began to mumble through a fact that she hadn't been to church, but she was. And then the next one kicked in and said, that's okay. God's looking forward to being there with you. And so here she was, and it turned into a wonderful little breakfast, or it wasn't little, it was like brunch from 11 in the morning till 2:30, whatever you call that. You can't put three pastors together and not have an hour for each, I guess. But the point was that she was encouraged and blessed and everything else that went along with that. But you begin to understand, who will go? Who can I send? I will go. Here I am, send me. And that's why I keep telling the little kids, because here I am. I sent it to some portion of the congregation, this little six-year-old boy. Can you imagine being a police officer at a school, whatever he or she was doing, and this little boy walks up and says, can I pray with you? And without hesitancy, she said, sure. And I go, that's part of the miracle of what our kids can do. But here's part of the second part of the miracle. You'd be surprised how many people are blessed when you ask them, can I pray for something for you? I'm going to be talking to the Lord. Are you a follower of Jesus? And at that moment, I knew, she knew, the three of us knew that God was speaking to her heart and she was being loved. And you begin to understand the process that God has us in. Who will go? Here I am, send me. But it seems so small and insignificant that a six-year-old boy can talk to a police officer while she's fully vested and armed and everything that they have to carry, and break her heart wide open with a beautiful prayer from a six-year-old's heart. And you begin to understand what God is calling us to. So as we go on in this section, he goes, here am I, send me. And then God tells him this mission. Now the reason I want to stop a little bit in the mission is because it feels really hard. And it is. There's passages in Scripture that talk about we preach Christ crucified. We preach Christ and Christ alone. And people then harden their heart. They get more bitter, more angry, more shut down because they don't want to hear the love of God or the mercy of God or the grace of God or anything that God has offered them. And so my encouragement to you is if this little boy's story would have been different. Shut up, kid. I don't want to talk to you. The kid still did what God called him to do. And you have to understand, you have these opportunities made available to you as God begins to reveal them to you. And so he begins to share what it's going to be like to minister to the Jews. Go and tell this people, be ever hearing but never understanding. Be ever seeing but never perceiving. Make the heart of this people calloused and their ears dull and close their eyes. It means speak the truth to them, but in speaking the truth, they're going to get more closed. Shut up. I don't want to hear it. Be quiet. No noise. La, 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 la. And he goes, is the prophet doing anything wrong? The answer is no. If she would have responded very differently that morning, had we done anything wrong? No. Were we sincerely loving on her? Yep. And you begin to understand God is calling us without knowing what the results will be. Who will go? Who can I send? Here I am. Send me. And I picked this section in Isaiah because Isaiah is no longer a child. He's a grown man. He's got a ministry. He's working as a prophet. And he's realizing God is calling him to even tougher accountabilities and responsibilities. And so in this particular situation, you begin to understand these people are going to hear but not be listening. They're going to not be changing. They're going to be hardening their hearts. So he finishes it off. Then I said, "For how long, O Lord?" And he answered, "Until the cities lie ruined." How's the ministry to the United States going? Remember last Sunday, I kind of shouted the United States down, and I said, this is what Jeremiah was dealing with, telling them the truth, and they were all shutting the doors of their heart to him. They're doing that. People are being arrested. They're talking about taking the truckers' houses and homes and land away in Canada. Do you think this is just happening in one place? Do you not understand? And I go, do you want that ministry or do you want to run from it? Because now is the time, who will go, who can I send, and who will go for me, is the call of God upon the heart of his people. And he says, how long, O Lord? Till the cities lie ruined without inhabitants, until the houses are left deserted and the fields ruined and ravaged, until the Lord has sent everyone far away and the land is utterly forsaken. And though a tenth remains, we call it the remnant sometimes, in the land, it will again be laid waste. They won't even make it. But as the terebinth and the oak leave a stump when they're cut down, so a holy seed will be left to spring up in that same land. But for the time being, the country is going down. He, of course, is talking about Israel. He is talking about what's coming full force on them when the Babylonians come and just wipe them out and destroy the temple and destroy all kinds of other things in the land. And the people themselves are taken captive and running away. But the call never changes, because the call is there are people out there who, rather than softening their heart, will harden their heart to what you have to say. And so I looked at that New Testament passage that I asked you to look at in 2 Peter. I'm going to take just a minute if you go there. And he says this, we don't follow cleverly invented stories when we tell you about the coming and the power of our Lord Jesus. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, I'm reading in. All right? Because it goes, for he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory, heaven, saying, this is my Son whom I love, with him I am well pleased. We ourselves heard the voice and that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. That's the Mount of Transfiguration. And here these people are in Peter under persecution, under threat, equal to anything you guys are dealing with today, or even more in many cases, depending on what part of the Roman Empire they lived. And he's going, we don't follow fancy stories and little cliches. We follow a faithful God and a faithful word, And he said, we've seen it, we've tasted it, we've touched it. And then he adds the second part. We have the word of the prophets made more certain, and you will do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns. Well, the prophets prophesied that this was going to come. The prophets prophesied. So not only is it confirmed by their life experience, not only have they seen and listened to and touched Jesus, not only have they experienced these things and watched him heal, do miracles, and all the rest, now they go back to the Old Testament, and the Old Testament confirms this is exactly what the Messiah was going to do. And so you take the word and you confirm what they're experiencing, and you put them together, and you begin to understand. As you test out your testimony, it proves itself to be true. And then the light is supposed to shine on you, and you're supposed to say, that's why you call us to talk to a waitress or to somebody else. That's why you ask us to speak to the police officer standing by the side of the street. That's why you call us to say thank you, or I appreciate your job, or what you do, or anything else that God lays upon your heart. And you begin to recognize this as it points it out. Above all things, you must understand no prophecy of Scripture came by a prophet's own interpretation. But the prophets, a whole entire Old Testament, were, it says, carried along. If you're a sailor, yeah, I like this verse, all right, the word carried along means lifted by the wind. We have sailed our big sailboat every once in a while with a spinnaker. And a spinnaker is like almost double the square feet of a mainsail. And when it billows out, it literally lifts up the front of the boat and it opens. And you can only do it when you're running in certain directions with the wind mostly. And you let that spinnaker billow and you just, whoa, and you just feel the boat just lift up out of the water. Okay? That's what this is saying. These men were lifted up and carried by the wind, the ruach, the pneuma of the Spirit of God, and they were given the very words that they had to say. And so now you and I are given the commission in one sense from the Old Testament, faithful to it in the New Testament, and willing to, as it points out here, as it says, and they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. With the two pastors I was talking to, they read a devotion, and in the devotion it said, and the Lord, if you're not sure what to say, ask the Lord to touch your lips. And then the devotion ends with, and then listen to what you're saying. And I thought, how insightful. Ask the Lord to touch your lips, but listen to what you're saying. Because if the Holy Spirit begins to speak through you, you're going to sit there and be going, wow, that was really good, wasn't it? And I've heard people say this to me. They go, I didn't even know what I said, but I know it was right. Or sometimes I'll go, I didn't know I was going to preach that in Sunday sermon. Anyone who knows me know I'm really sincere about that. And all of a sudden, I'm going, holy cow, Lord, that was really good. Thank you. And I'm not complimenting myself or patting myself on the back. I go, shut up and listen to what's coming out of your mouth as you surrender to the wind of the Spirit to carry you where he needs you to go. What was Isaiah listening to? The seraph came with the coal, touched his lips. And then Isaiah had to listen to his own words. The Spirit of God wants to come and touch your lips and get you to raise up totally out of your comfort level. You think these kids got up here easily? Do you know how many times she shook her head? Then she realized no one would go if she didn't. And she knew Pastor wouldn't give them any candy. But she was willing to come up. How much more resistant can you be? About equal. What's the reward you get? And the answer is sometimes you'll never get to see it on this side of the grave. But sometimes you will understand what God's doing in that particular moment. And so join me in prayer if you would. Lord, sometimes we take our salvation for granted. We get so busy, we forget what beautiful, powerful words you have given to us in your word and how faithful they are and how life-changing they are. And so, Lord, I thank you for humbling me yesterday, listening with these two faithful brothers, older than I am, just being men of God in that particular moment with the love and respect and nurturing of this waitress, and also, Lord, at the same time nurturing me. I thank you, Lord, that you challenge us. I thank you, Lord, that the little ones that sit up here in front of church have the courage sometimes to step up and do the things that you're calling them to do. And then out of that very nervous moment comes the miracle of understanding. And so we thank you for our children. We thank you for the blessing of each man, woman, and child here in this place. We thank you, Lord, for the people you have us to minister to. Come and bless us all, strengthen us, and fill us with hope. We pray this all in your name, Jesus. Amen.